Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Strange Familiars.
Thanks, Alice. Tonight's a weird one.
Okay, so I don't know if it's just almost like Stockholm Syndrome, but you're reeling me in.
I'm reeling you in on the weirdo stuff.
This one even would make a cynic pause.
Really?
Yeah, I find this particular revelation shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is coming from Mrs. Skeptic.
Yeah.
My wife. The resident skeptic at Strange Familiars.
I feel like I've almost attained doctor level of skepticism. Like, I don't know what you'd need to do for a master's or doctoral thesis in skepticism, but...
So this is sort of a follow-up episode to episode 62, which was the Mirror Men Who Moved Like Owls episode.
And they were flannel men too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is Jedediah. He saw these two entities that sort of met the description of flannel men.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two of them, and they mirrored each other's movements. I'm just going to play a clip of Jedediah describing what he saw.
But anyways, I had woke up, and it was late. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe midnight, maybe 3 a.m., not sure. And I saw what, for a second, I thought it was my great uncle, because, so he was in his, like, 80s, 70s, 80s at this time. He lived on into the 90s. So he was probably in his late 70s. And he would always be wearing, like... Especially, like, if it was chilly or cold, even in the dead of winter, he would have, like, 80, like, different layers of flannels, T-shirts, you know, like, long-sleeve shirts, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never wear coats. It was really funny. But anyways, I thought I saw him, but then I realized I'm looking at two guys, but they were, like, elderly-looking, and they were identically, they had, like a nicotine-stained yellow type plaid shirts on. They're the same, and they were like talking to each other, kind of. It looked like that's what they were doing, but their arms were like really exaggerated gestures, like back and forth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like the same. They were almost mirrored. And then I felt like I could tell that they could tell that I was looking at them.
So when you saw them, were they inside or outside?
No. They're right outside the window.
Okay, so they're outside the window. Okay.
Like, I forgot to tell you that. This is like outdoor, like right outside the window. So they were like really gesturing, and it looked like they were talking. And then as they must have noticed I was looking at them, they both turned their faces towards me, And then this is like the weirdest thing, but you know, like a barn owl, like how their heads do that circular motion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like they have that heart face.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing that, like as if their heads weren't attached to the body, kind of. Like it was totally unnatural. And that's what scared the crap out of me.
Wow.
So I turned, because I knew I was so scared, I wanted to go run to my parents. You know, I was frozen, scared. And then I turned my head to kind of like plan my escape, if you will. Because like,
yeah,
it was kind of cluttered too. It was like old people's house. And then as I look back, they're gone. Totally gone.
So that's a refresher on that episode for people. And I want to say, if you haven't listened to our Flannel Man episodes, you should probably go back and listen to one or two of the Flannel Man episodes also.
It's pretty important. It's like, if you didn't know who Dracula was, like, I'd say go back. It's gonna be integral to the coming story.
Which we've talked about a lot. And Flannel Man, like I always say, we didn't invent him.
Mm-hmm. The flannel came to us.
It's something I mentioned offhandedly and then got a huge response. John Keel mentions something that seems to fit the description of Flannel Man, at least as far back as Mothman Prophecies, and I think even before that. So this isn't something I came up with, or we came up with.
But this story tonight goes back even further.
It does. It really does. And it's...
to the dawn of the Flannel Man.
It's one of these stories where someone sent us this article, like, offhandedly.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of this? This sounds interesting, or this sounds like...
relevant,
it might be related. And then we did a little more digging, and it was like, what? So let's get into it.
Okay. It was a Strange Familiars listener that...
It was. Let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
So we've been documenting these Flannel Man sightings. As soon as we published episode 62... I almost immediately got a message from TJ, was the first one, and there were a few other listeners as well, who said, hey, these mirror men are a thing too. Like, you have Flannel Man, and there's this other podcast, I guess called Monsters Among Us, that's been documenting these mirrored men sightings, where people are seeing these entities that mirror each other's movement like this. There's usually three of them, I think, in most reports. And sometimes the witnesses experience missing time or other weird effects after seeing them, apparently. And he's reported several of these on Monsters Among Us. A couple other podcasts have taken reports of them. I think maybe I heard of them, but I hadn't taken any encounters myself. And my encyclopedia-like brain for the paranormal really kind of doesn't go far beyond Bigfoot. I have so much Bigfoot I store in there that there's not a heck of a lot of room.
There's hardly time for a Roswell.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, as much as I'd like to, and UFO information, I'm that's probably really lacking on that. When I go on Where Did the Road Go, it becomes painfully obvious because all those guys are like super UFO heads and they know like all these famous sightings and stuff, and I just don't. It's not that I'm not interested in it. It's just my thing has been Bigfoot, and that's, you know, I have a huge store of information on Bigfoot in my head, but not much on this other stuff. Not that I'm not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, for what little information there is about Flannel Man, I have it in there. You know, I have the same. We seem to be the clearinghouse for Flannel Man. And then
you never know what your calling is going to be. When people are called to the cloth, I didn't think it was going to be flannel.
Right? And we get these other weird reports that are coming in, too. And I'll be surprised if we don't get some mirrored men sightings after these
two
episodes.
Yeah, or some hybrid mirror people.
So I was hoping we'd get at least one other mirrored man witness that we could put up this episode, because I'd like to give an example other than Jedediah's or these other mirror men sightings before we get into this other thing.
Well, it sounds like Alice.
Alice.
Alice through the looking glass. And that in a period of time where she's kind of on both sides of the mirror.
Yeah, it does. It does. This is truly strange stuff. So in lieu of that, there is on Phantoms and Monsters website, this is Lon Strickler's website, an account from Halloween of 2018.
Oh, so this is a very recent...
This is fairly recent. Well, this is when it was, you know, published on Phantoms and Monsters. Okay. I'm not sure when the account exactly was from. The Mirrored Men. So this is, I believe this is the words of the witness here. I was in the woods of Southern California. I was in the middle of a training session when I was told to stay off the road. Okay, cool, I said. About 2 a.m., me and my partner are moving to another spot when I spot three people walking on the road. I immediately told them to hold, and we moved into the shadows. What we saw was very unusual. The beings, or men, were the same exact height, moving at the same exact speed, with the same exact step and arm swing. I wasn't scared, but I was like, what the F? I asked some others later on, and a couple of guys said they saw the same, and it was weird, too. Due to the nature of the job, I must be vague about what his job was. Mm. He's referencing that. It was in July. We were on a navigation night exercise. One of my favorites because they're high speed and thrilling. There's a group of us doing this evolution. We spin off into twos. Woods at night can play tricks on your mind real easy. But my partner and I have laser-like focus, so we're not spooked by this. Hours go on as we make our way to checkpoints. Our last checkpoint was hard and very far. It took forever, and we thought we were lost, so we had to recheck our map to see where we were at. We used the moon's light to gather our exact whereabout. Well, best lighting is by the road, so we went by it. That's when I saw, in the distance, three things, people, or whatever, walking in the road. I was like, F, instructors. I told my partner to dip off into the shadows so they couldn't see us. When they walked past us, it was trippy. All three the same height, 6'7" or so, all in unison, not out of step, not a step out of place, nor arm, and saying something in some foreign language. It was weird, and my thoughts were, these instructors are in need of civilization. These fools are tripping. I asked my nav partner, WTF, and shrugged it off. We finally made it to the last checkpoint. Others were there, and I asked around about any tall instructors. Everyone said no. Two dudes walked up to me and said they saw some dudes walking perfectly together, and they dove into some bushes before they got near. They said it looked trippy, too. I don't know. Man, it was wild. That was from Lon, from Phantoms and Monsters. And then at the bottom of that article, he says, I was given the following explanation of this phenomenon. The mirrored man is a phenomenon in which two or three beings are observed looking and moving exactly alike, as if one is looking at a mirror image of the same being. Derek Hayes, host of the Monsters Among Us podcast, was the first to stumble upon the phenomenon after he covered a story on his show and received numerous reports from other people who have claimed to encounter these same beings. So, odd, right? And mm-hmm. It's very much like what Jedediah had described.
Yeah.
Except his were facing each other. There were mm-hmm. only two of them. They were facing each other when he first saw them, and then they turned and looked at him. What you were saying about the account I read.
Yeah, the account you read, that the people who observed this said that the men needed to be...
They were in need of civilization.
In need of civilization.
What does that mean? It seemed like it was like an army guy or something. Like,
right? Yeah, that's what it seems like. They were on some kind of maneuvers.
Is that a term they use in the military commonly? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's interesting in response to what we're going to talk about. Insular nature of this particular...
Oh, that's true. I wasn't thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
Here's another account of something which sounds like some of these mirrored men. This comes from the Beyond Creepy YouTube channel. This was used with permission from Beyond Creepy, so thank you so much. If you get a chance, check out their channel, Beyond Creepy. There's lots and lots of creepy, paranormal-type stuff there you all might be interested in. We will put a link in the show notes to Beyond Creepy. This comes from their video that's titled Mirrored Men and More.
It was August 2005, Plainfield, Indiana. The witness, who lived in a highly developed housing neighborhood, was staying up late at night watching television when he suddenly felt compelled to look out the window of his second-story unit. When he glanced at the clock, it was around 4:20 a.m. He rose from his bed and slowly peeked out from behind the blinds. That's when he saw, across the street, right underneath a streetlight, three entities walking. There was a tall one, a shorter one, and another tall one, in that order. The short one was in between the two tall ones. He noted that they were skinny, had long limbs, slightly larger heads than humans, and walked in a strange manner. One of the oddest things about the experience was that, at the exact second that he looked out the blinds, the entities turned and stared at him, as if they knew he would be looking out the window at that exact second. The other very strange thing about them was that they were not walking side by side, as most regular people would do. They were walking in a single file, and walked in a sort of mechanical zombie manner, arms bent back dangling, knees bent, and heads dangling as well, but cocked so they could stare at the witness. However, because of an unspecified glare outside the room, the witness could not make out any specific facial details or the color of their skin. They kept staring at the witness as they walked, and the witness felt compelled to stare back. The trio eventually went out of sight, obscured behind a row of houses. When he could no longer see them anymore, the witness remembers backing away from the window, putting his hands on his head, and saying, "What do I do now?" For some inexplicable reason, his legs gave out, and he crumpled to the floor. He crawled over to his bed and got back in. He began to panic. His heart was racing, his legs felt useless, and he had the feeling that if he fell asleep, he might not ever wake up again. He contemplated calling his older sister, or possibly 911, but elected not to. Eventually things settled down, and he was finally able to regain the use of his legs.
Strange Familiars is brought to you by our patrons. Thank you, patrons. You make Strange Familiars happen. Without you, there would be no Strange Familiars. If you'd like to help us make shows and bring in more Strange Familiars and make sure we keep going,
keep Flannel Man alive,
go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. $3 a month gets you extra content. We do at least one full extra show for patrons every month. We try to do more. Usually we've been knocking out two the past few months. And there are different levels of support there as well. If you want to get other bonuses like t-shirts and stickers and pins and more, you can go there and look at all the different levels of support. That's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. And if you'd like to help us out, but you don't want to do the subscription thing, you don't want to do the Patreon thing, there's a link in the show notes at strangefamiliars.com. It's a paypal.me address, and you can click on that and do a one-time donation if you can afford it. That really helps us out as well.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So we have the flannel men, which we've been reporting on, which you yourself saw, Allison.
I know.
So I'm kind of so jealous of that.
If you'd like to take some of my nightmares off my hands for it, that's fine. Go for it.
Have you had nightmares relative to flannel men since?
No,
then?
I've never seen
it's just
him again.
The, just the one thing. Mm-hmm. So we have the flannel man, and we have the mirrored man, and we get this email from this listener.
His first name's Adam.
Okay.
He might not want to be outed as the
Adam O, I believe was his last name.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
So thank you, Adam, for sending this email. And he just sent me a link to a Wikipedia article and said, this sounds a lot like
both those things.
What you're talking about. The Jumping Frenchman of Maine. That's the Wikipedia article.
Yeah, which in its own right sounds like a Strange Familiars episode. But then...
It's cool.
It's cool.
So it gets me in the first line here. So, the Jumping Frenchmen of Maine were a group of 19th century lumberjacks.
What?
A group of 19th century lumberjacks who exhibited a rare disorder of unknown origin. The syndrome entails an exaggerated startle reflex, which may be described as an uncontrollable jump. Individuals with this condition can exhibit sudden movements in all parts of the body. Jumping Frenchman syndrome shares some symptoms with other startle disorders. Individuals with this condition were first found in the Moosehead Lake region of Maine and were first described by George Miller Beard in 1878. George Miller Beard recorded individuals who would obey any command given suddenly, even if it meant striking a loved one. The Jumping Frenchman seemed to react abnormally to sudden stimuli. The more common and less intense symptoms consisted of jumping, yelling, and hitting. These individuals exhibited outrageous bursts, and many described themselves as ticklish and shy. By the way, I came across an article, which we won't be reading, of someone who killed someone with Jumping Frenchman.
Yeah, I read that too, yeah.
By tickling him to death. Did you?
Oh, no, this was a different Jumping Frenchman revenge scenario.
No, this was someone who tickled him to death. He tickled him... They were so ticklish they got an aneurysm.
Oh my.
And bled out.
That's horrific.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, sorry. These individuals exhibited outrageous bursts and many described themselves as ticklish and shy. Other cases involved echolalia, which is repeating vocalizations made by another person, and echopraxia, repeating movements made by another person. I just got chills even reading that, even knowing it was coming, and knowing how much we've discussed this already.
And it wouldn't be weird enough for it just to be like a mirroring phenomenon. This happened distinctly to one tiny little group of people who just happened to be lumberjacks.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have lumberjacks that can mirror each other's movements.
Would you also like to tell everyone where other instances of Jumping Frenchman syndrome happen?
Yeah, so basically in the Wikipedia article it says Moosehead Lake, Maine. But it also happens in other logging regions in northern United States, including Michigan, which is where Jedediah saw...
The mirrored Jumping Frenchman, lumberjack flannel men,
or whatever they are. Now, this is somewhat speculative as we're going into this, as all paranormal is. So let's just say that. Everything in paranormal is pretty much speculative. We don't have proof for any of this. But it's one of those things that has so many, like, it ticks so many boxes. It's lumberjacks. It's from the same region Jedediah saw. And it's this weird syndrome where they can mirror each other's movements. That's part of this possible syndrome.
Also, the other curious thing, I don't know if you plan on getting into this quite yet, but the doctor who went to these remote locations and was trying to kind of suss out the nature versus nurture aspect of the disease, he wrote a substantial paper on the nature of trance.
Right.
Different forms of trance and trance in neurological diseases. And to me, this sort of extreme suggestibility, is that not indicative of like a hypnotic state, a trance-like state,
where
you're open to suggestion in a way that you wouldn't be? The thing that's odd about it is that there's truly, it's a compulsive thing. The person, if someone tells them to jump, they no longer have control over whether they jump or not.
Yeah, right. And there are some tragic stories too about mm-hmm. guys telling people to jump off boats into icy water and then
or to
dying.
Hurt people, to hit other people, to hurt people with axes.
People were cruel.
Yeah, and they became like the butt of the jokes around the camps.
Yeah, and they would do these mean tricks to these guys basically, or get, you know, one guy to hit another guy in the back mm-hmm. of the head.
I guess like the closest thing to something that people have heard of is probably, and actually Dr. Beard later on worked with Dr. Tourette. They were working in concert at a certain time together. So it has some parallels with Tourette syndrome, but it also happens, very similar symptoms, in other isolated regions. There's what they call the Ragin' Cajuns, which is a Louisiana version of this.
See,
there's a Malaysian version of this.
Who'd they call the Ragin' Cajun?
It was Clinton's advisor, the one that was bald-headed guy.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
They call it, yeah, and who knew there was like a neurological disorder called the Ragin' Cajuns. But it's a very similar thing, right?
Yeah. And there's a disease that affects, a lot of times, they said middle-aged women, and this was sort of antiquated language, but I guess they were referring to probably like these transsexual sex trade workers of Malaysia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it tends to be isolated population.
Yes, and that's what Beard kind of went into. He thought that that was partially responsible for it, the lack of relation to the outer world or civilization.
Yeah, I know one article, and maybe one of the articles we read or not, mentioned that it was a lot of people who had these sort of employment, you know, away from others, like out in rural areas or in the woods, mm-hmm. away from other people.
He also talked about how incredibly stressful logging life was, how dangerous it was.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it was.
And you also have to take into account how much of what you would generally find in civilization, which would be mixed company, that's eliminated.
Right. Another thing you pointed out, and so many people have used, you know, sort of jokingly, Paul Bunyan as a reference to Flannel Man, like, uh-huh. you know, maybe Flannel Man represents Paul Bunyan in some way. Uh-huh.
But he comes from that same French-Canadian Quebecois.
Yeah, so when they talk about the jumping Frenchmen, they were actually French-Canadians.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so does, and Paul Bunyan was...
Paul Bunyan was a French-Canadian lumberjack. And I'm not going to do the pronunciation right, but I guess in Quebecois, that's short for, I guess it's bon, like good, and then Y-E-N-N-E, so I can only assume it's yen that way.
Huh. So they were recording this syndrome as far back as the...
Beard started looking into it in the late 1870s.
Okay. So this is... Well, this predates that then, this article. This article's from 1861. So they knew of the syndrome, I guess, before he started looking into it. And it is from the Buffalo Daily Republic. The Jumping Frenchman of Canada. The Aroostook? Sorry for my pronunciation. Someone will correct me.
Just assume you're going to be wrong.
The Aroostook Pioneer contains an article on jumping Frenchmen from the pen of Reverend M.R. Keep, who says that this singular phenomenon pervades probably a third or fourth part of all the men among the Madawaska French who are known as jumpers or jumping Frenchmen, terms that are quite familiar with all who have any acquaintance in the settlement or with the men who came from there. However this phenomenon may be explained, the certain fact is that during the spasm, they have no personal control of their actions, nor do they act out anything before, thought of in the case as taking ether or exhilarating gas. In social parties of either man mixed sexes, it often serves as a means of much merriment. Sometimes when a man has hold and is ready for a large fit, a jumping start will put him through a good job. Those who understand the matter and practice on their victims can tell them what to do at the same instant of giving them the sudden start, and they will do it, no matter what it is. At Fish River Mills, they have been jumped out of a boat in the middle of the river. Someone on shore would, on a sudden, tell them to throw their paddle and then jump out of the boat or canoe. And they would do both, where the water was 10 feet deep and ice running. The meaning of it is that they are victims of sudden starts or frights, an involuntary, uncontrollable, spasmodic jumping, accompanied with an involuntary, unearthly scream. So here we have a note of an unearthly scream.
Wow.
Another paranormal thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All of which, to strangers not accustomed to the phenomenon, is mysterious and frightful. It is hard calculating the length of time that the spasm continues. It is but little more than momentary, though it seems long sometimes on account of the pain sensations endured by the victims and the bystanders.
Dr. Beard went on to discover what was termed Americanitis, which is sort of a forerunner of Epstein-Barr or fatigue-based autoimmune neurological disorders that he thought were because of the changes in American culture.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's really kind of ahead of his time.
I was going to say, he seems kind of prolific.
Yeah, he was a Yale graduate, Civil War veteran doctor.
So this article is from later. This is from 1898, from the News, from Newport, Pennsylvania. The Newport News.
The New GNU Review.
You are giving away your age.
No, Gary GNU is giving away his age.
Jumpers of the Woods, the strange malady found in the lumber camps. Its victims known as jumping Frenchmen. Tragic and ludicrous results of an abnormal state of the nerves. No women ever found among the victims. Well, that's interesting. It doesn't affect women.
Well, it does, but in much slower degrees.
Oh, okay.
He did find some instances. They were still among those French-Canadian people living within the camps. I don't think he found any evidence of this disease when it wasn't associated with, you know, like an insular group like this.
Right, right.
But it seems like it became so ingrained in the culture that people just knew who jumpers were.
Yeah.
That it was just a thing, you know, like...
Yeah. Jumping Frenchmen, as the men afflicted with this disease are called, are found in the lumber camps of the Northwest. The main sufferers, says a Chicago correspondent of the New York Sun, are the French-Canadian swampers and choppers, although Americans, Germans, Irishmen, and Scandinavians who have remained long in the woods are not infrequently attacked. But as it was first noticed among the French-Canadian woodsmen, the disease came to be known as the Jumping Frenchmen habit. And for many years, those afflicted with it have been known as jumpers. These jumpers are the victims of a nervous disease, which causes them to obey blindly and mechanically any sudden command, especially when accompanied by a sharp poke in the back or the ribs. If commanded to strike, the jumper does so, no matter what he may have in his hands, no matter what may be in front of him. So widespread is the jumping habit or disease in the lumber regions of Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, Minnesota, and the Canadian Northwest that in many of the camps there is an ironclad rule to the effect that any man in camp who shall be found guilty of speaking to or touching one of the jumpers for the purpose of causing him to make an exhibition of himself shall be discharged immediately. This rule was made after many practical jokes played upon jumpers had resulted seriously. But in spite of it, woodsmen still indulge in their rough fun with the jumpers. The sufferers from this malady are not thin, broken-down individuals with a bad case of nerves, as might be imagined, but are, as a rule, big, brawny men.
Oh, snap.
The brawny man, he's the other...
He's our other archetype.
The other archetype of...
He literally said brawny man.
Big, brawny men, sound of limb and lung, who, when let alone, are most capable men in the pine forest. The physicians who have examined them are of the opinion that their nervous system in some way becomes affected by the solitary and isolated lives they lead, and that they can no more help obeying the commands given them than a babe can help being born into the world. Now that's interesting too, because we once again have this idea that going off by yourself is dangerous. And we talked about this with the Wild Men before, mm-hmm. where leaving society is dangerous.
It causes disease.
It causes mental problems. If you go off into the woods, it can cause problems.
Well, I mean, if you think of it in sort of like an autoimmune response to a lack of human contact, and then human contact is thrust upon you.
Almost as if you're in a sensory deprivation.
Yeah, everything becomes hypersensitive.
Which sensory deprivation also ties to trance. Mm. Let's put a pin in that. We'll get back to that.
Got a lot of pins here.
Back to the article. It is touch and go with them, as has been demonstrated time and again, and when in this condition, they do not appear to see or realize any danger that may lie ahead of them. No jokes are too rough for the woodsmen of the North, who, for the most part, are men familiar with all kinds of danger, hardship, and pain. They have no mercy upon the jumpers, who are frequently compelled to endanger their own lives or the life of a companion for the amusement of the crew making up the camp. Frequently, the jokes are of a somewhat ludicrous nature. Pies and puddings are a rarity in most of the lumber camps of the Northwest, and nothing pleases the non-jumpers better than to suddenly command a jumper to throw it away when he's in the act of eating his portion of the delicacy. Quick as a flash, the pie or pudding is thrown straight ahead, not infrequently landing squarely in the face of a member of the crew, who can only join in the general laugh which follows. Sounds like a load of fun working with these guys.
Yeah, I think isn't rough fun sort of a semantic difference between bullying?
Yeah, right. Among the men employed by the Shaw Lumber Company of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, in one of its camps on the Chippewa River were four jumpers, and some of the tricks played upon them were attended by such tragic results that they will always linger in the memory of the men employed in the camp. Tom Reynolds, the foreman, was a man who took delight in having fun with the jumpers. He was a fellow utterly devoid of feeling, except when his little son, whose mother had died in bringing him into the world, was concerned, and when this boy was accidentally slain by a jumper. Reynolds immediately murdered the man, and later on destroyed himself. Was this the one you were talking about?
Yeah.
Was this the case you were talking about? When the river broke in the spring and the rushing water was full of logs, the drive being well underway, the men were all assembled on the banks one morning. One of the jumpers stepped on a log near the shore and began rolling it. While the men were admiring his dexterity, Reynolds came along, and before the party realized what he was doing, he had commanded the jumper to dive into the flood. The poor fellow obeyed instantly, and when his companions recovered his body, life was extinct, the unfortunate man's skull having been crushed like an eggshell by coming in contact with a log. Of course, the whole thing was an accident, but all the men blamed Reynolds, and several of the woodsmen got their time checks and quit right there and then. But Reynolds was not yet satisfied. He must have more fun with the jumping Frenchmen. About a week before the drive was over, he had his little son brought up from Cadot. Cadot? It's two T's. Would that be Cadot?
I'm not sure. I know it was Eau Claire, though.
Is it Eau Claire?
Yeah.
Sorry. Should have corrected me at the time, not afterwards. In order that the little chap might witness the sight of millions of logs running down the stream on their way to Half Moon Lake, the big natural reservoir just above Eau Claire.
Eau Claire.
Where all the logs cut in the district tributary to that city are stored until wanted. As the men were sitting around camp one evening, the subject of jumping Frenchmen was brought up, and Reynolds' boy began asking questions in regards to them. At the time, McManus was splitting wood nearby. Calling his boy to him, Reynolds said that he would give the youngster a practical illustration. Then he started toward McManus, who was totally unaware of what was going on. Just as Reynolds reached McManus, poked him in the back, and commanded him to throw his axe, the little boy ran in front of the chopper and was struck in the head by the flying axe, which fractured the skull. As the boy dropped to the ground, Reynolds and McManus stood for a moment as if carved from stone. Then, with a yell of rage, Reynolds rushed upon the unfortunate jumper, and before the other men could reach the struggling pair, he had choked the life out of him. Reynolds was at once taken into custody while the boy was removed to a hospital in Eau Claire, where he afterward died. In due time, Reynolds was tried on charge of murder. But Reynolds was acquitted on the ground of temporary insanity. An effort was made during the trial to have the court take cognizance of the jumping disease, but it refused to do so, holding that the malady did not enter into the merits of the case in any particular. After his acquittal, Reynolds seemed overcome with remorse at having killed McManus, and with grief over the death of his little son, and in less than a year, he died from a bullet wound inflicted by himself, a broken-down drunkard.
Wow.
Ludicrous scenes are sometimes caused by one of these jumpers. Not many months ago, several Minneapolis lumbermen were walking down Nicollet Avenue in that city, with a jumper among them, when one of the party saw his wife approaching. Just as the woman came up, the jumper was poked in the back and ordered to kiss her. Instantly, he sprang forward, threw his arms around the astonished woman, and pressed several kisses on her flushed face, then fell back, covered with confusion over what he had done. A policeman came rushing up and was on the point of arresting the whole party on a charge of disorderly conduct when the husband of the woman explained. The wife refused, of course, to enter a complaint against the kisser. Well, maybe he's a good kisser. Later in the day, the jumper was compelled to strike at the Surveyor General of the district and go through a dozen other exhibitions to the great amusement of his friends. The jumping disease is found chiefly in people of little education, although cases are known where men of good education are afflicted. That seems kind of...
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
As if you're immune to neurological disorders if you're...
Yeah. Well, we don't... We'll get into that, too. Mm. We don't quite know if it's a neurological disorder. Never yet has a woman been found who possessed the jumping habit. Again, you said that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah. But it seems to be...
Predominantly men.
Yeah.
The unfortunates claim they cannot resist, try as they will, the commands given them. In cases where a victim's hands and feet have been tied with cord and the order to strike or jump has been given, the bonds have been snapped asunder in a flash before the command was fairly out of the speaker's mouth. Now that's very interesting.
Like super strength.
Yes. That's very interesting. And that's the end of the article.
So often with these old articles, that's how it... Something will end with... with a very leading statement where you're like, well, this is the end of the article.
Yeah, exactly. That's it?
Oh, and then there was, you know, some children's bones in a suitcase or something.
Right.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot. Also, I read you this. Mm-hmm. I read you the Wikipedia thing.
Yeah.
When Adam sent his email. Yeah. I read you the Wikipedia thing. So your eyes get big and you're like, oh my God. What does it say to you? Is this an explanation or is this just a weird synchronicity?
Well, it's almost such a niche that would be hard to overlook it. You know, it's like you said, it ticks so many boxes. To pretend that these two things aren't related. I don't know, here we have men who are almost like in a perpetual state of trance.
Right.
Sometimes reported on, like, the mirror men to be very tall.
Right.
People with a startled look on their face, almost in the way that a lot of people who report flannel man look as if the person that's looking back at them is startled to be there.
Right.
Or that we're looking at them, or doesn't realize what just happened, like the guy who ran up and kissed the lady and then is sort of in that moment in between where he's coming back to reality.
And we talked about this, like, in your case, in several of the Flannel Man cases, but in yours in particular, you said he looked surprised, like caught or surprised.
Caught, yeah.
Which is a form of startled, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like they're startled in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Startled to be seen.
Yeah. Is there more on the technical side of the illness we need to cover, or can we get into wild speculation?
Well, most of the research into the illness is wild speculation.
That's true. They don't have a lot of...
They don't have a huge swath of people to have a control group and a regular group within to even do a scientific study on them.
If you look up Jumping Frenchmen on YouTube, there's one video of a young man, which he seems very...
It seemed very genuine.
Yeah, and he seems very troubled by it.
And also, it seemed like it started as a result of a traumatic event.
Well, that's the thing. Like, this isn't to cast aspersions on what may be a real neurological disorder.
Uh-huh.
But he said it started the day after his mother died. To me, that's such a heavy psychological moment.
Yeah.
That you have to look at that aspect of it, even if it was only the stress weakened his system, which allowed this maybe dormant neurological syndrome to kick in.
Or a virus or something to cause these.
And it's a very serious thing, and he's very troubled by it. He's, you know, people take advantage of him, and you can tell he's not happy about it. And my heart goes out to him. And, I mean, what can you imagine living with this?
Just literally being at the whim of other people.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be made fun of, but to have those people also control what you're doing.
Right, yeah. I mean, and what a jerk that guy was in that article, that Reynolds guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, it wasn't enough, all the other things that had happened. Yeah, he just keeps going.
Does all this horrible stuff to these guys, and then he's the one who calls his son's death, as far as I'm concerned. He came up behind a guy, a jumper, who was using an axe, and tells the guy to throw the axe, which happens to hit his son.
It's one of those, like, what do you expect is going to happen?
Yeah.
It's just rough fun.
Yeah. I imagine lumber camps were extremely rough places. Like,
yeah, I just imagine the only thing to do was work and drink.
Yeah, and like,
and then that atmosphere must be like, an all-male atmosphere with not a lot of ways to eliminate frustrations.
Yeah,
a lot of chopping.
I'm imagining like a Deadwood kind of situation as far as like the roughness of characters on there. And
yeah, I mean, these aren't people, unless maybe some people just grew up in that culture. You know, I wonder if this wasn't apparent in some small mining communities, that maybe it wasn't documented. Other odd neurologic disease that's peculiar to a particular society.
Right, yeah. So here's my thoughts.
Okay.
Here's my wild speculation and my call out to those who in the future may see Flannel Man.
Mm-hmm. Poke him with a stick?
Kind of. Kind of. So my thought is, and the doctor who did all the original research said that this syndrome could in some way be related to trance, right?
He did think so.
Trance is used in many forms of occultism. It's used to get people into out-of-body experiences. It's used to get into astral travel. What if what people are seeing, that's Flannel Man, what Jedediah saw as these mirrored Flannel Man, are in some way these jumpers sort of jumping out of their body and projecting themselves?
Mm-hmm. And they're so startled because they didn't really know where they were going.
Right, they may not do it. It may not be conscious on their part. Mm-hmm. It may be jumping. And maybe even, I mean, if we're going to get real crazy, maybe they're jumping through time as well as, you know, space.
And that the trance acts as a conduit between, you know, my hypnagogic trance-like state meets with someone's neurological disease.
Right, you're kind of meeting on the plane of trance, in
other
words.
Exactly.
Yeah, like you're meeting.
What am I even saying? Like, here is where I am.
Welcome to Strange Familiars, Allison. I don't know how many episodes you've been on, but welcome to Strange Familiars. You're finally here.
Yeah, it only took 63 episodes and 22 years of marriage.
And you're sober.
Yeah, I'm completely sober.
So my call out to anyone in the future who happens to see Flannel Man.
Tickle him.
No?
Poke him.
Order him to do something.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend, you know, throw your axe.
Yeah.
But maybe slap your face, pat your head, rub your tummy, whatever
it is.
Pull
your beard.
Yeah, whatever it is. Give him a command, a sudden, you know, startling command. Now, I realize that's asking a lot because...
You know what mine would have been? Turn the light on.
The light wasn't on?
No, it was a rare misstep on my part by sleeping with the light off.
Oh, I let you sleep, or I convinced you to sleep with the light off.
That's not going
to
happen
again.
You
let me convince you to sleep with the light off. Oh, I thought your command was going to be get out.
Get out, yeah. Wake up.
The presence of mind required to issue a command, maybe that's asking a lot because you're startled. I think most people are startled when they see this. And
if this is happening in a dream state, you have to be aware enough to know which state you're in.
It's like asking people to take a photo of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And it's like I often say, the last thing you're thinking about is getting your phone out of your camera and getting the camera and taking a picture. You're in the moment. You're experiencing this. However, maybe someone can do it. Maybe someone wakes up, they see Flannel Man, whatever it is. They issue a command and wonder what happens.
Well, if he's part of your mind anyway, wouldn't he just do it anyway?
Maybe. If he's not part of your mind.
Yeah.
You know. And maybe he just disappears. Maybe the command would be enough.
To jump him back.
To snap him back or whatever. But it's just an interesting idea.
To me, there's some things that are just like, this is just too weird.
The whole connection.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, it'd be one thing if these sort of people who exhibit mirrored qualities, that would be weird enough on its own right. You're like, oh, look, here's a scientific explanation for what someone might have seen. And then you go, and it only happens in a small niche community of lumberjacks.
Right. Right. Lumberjack man.
It's like
man.
Only people who were in color guard in the 1960s, you know, or it's like such an obscure and small amount of people.
And I mean, and to be clear, Lumberjack Man was the other name they called this guy, besides Flannel Man.
Mm-hmm. Or a Brawny Man.
But literally, that's what I think the original like post I read, wherever it was, called him Flannel Man and Lumberjack Man. They said like both.
Yeah, and I think I referred to him initially as a Lumberjack guy.
I think so.
Because that's what he looked like to me.
He looked like a Lumberjack.
I also think it's interesting that this happened... The last person that we got a report from was in this area, Michigan, quite close to where these jumpers had lived.
The last report we published.
Yeah, the last report we published, yeah.
There's
right before we heard this little tidbit.
Right, right. We have... There's plenty more Flannel Man coming on Strange Familiars. I have so many Flannel Man.
I can't even believe that. Like, I can't even believe this is a thing.
Most people who have seen Flannel Man can't believe it's a thing. It's still shocking to people, and...
I think that's also one of the odd side effects of living in the age of the internet, in that things that people thought were solitary incidents or experiences, once you get to talk to and have access to the rest of the world, you find out that that isn't the case.
Yeah. And this weird stuff, too. Like, who would have thought we would get this many Flannel Man reports? Who would have thought... That other podcast, Monsters Among Us, would get multiple reports of these mirrored men. And then who would think we'd get a Flannel Man, Mirror Man crossover report?
The week before we start to hear about jumping Frenchman syndrome.
Well, we heard about it, frankly, because the guy heard the podcast and told us. So, if you've seen these mirrored men...
Or a jumping Frenchman.
Or a Flannel Man...
I'd also be interested in talking to people who are of French-Canadian descent just to hear some more just cultural lore, because I don't really know a lot about like French-Canadian Quebecois culture.
Right.
I think that would be interesting because I feel like there's probably other things that might pop out.
Relative to...
Yeah.
This,
yeah. When just thinking about like sort of a potential ancestor kind of thing, visiting other people.
Right.
There were a lot of logging people in Pennsylvania. Maybe they don't hop too far away.
Maybe. And also, I mean, maybe within, you know, French Canadian folklore, there's something, some equivalent to Flannel Man that we just don't know of because we don't know the right search terms or whatever, you know, the case may be. So yeah, that would be really interesting. I suspect
we have to have some French Canadian listeners, right?
I'm sure we do. Yeah, I suspect we're going to get more mirrored men reports now. Now that we've talked about it, please keep the Flannel Man reports coming. We are writing a book on Flannel Man, which now is going to have to include some information on mirrored men and jumping Frenchmen. Absolutely.
Did you know that? The mirror men then also relate back to the bubble men.
Now you're getting deep into musical obscurity. And
on that front, can I do a shout out to another podcast that I've been listening to?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a great podcast, if you like Echo and the Bunnymen, called Is There an Echo in Here? And you can find it at shaneparrish.com. I've been listening to it. If you love obsessive research, but in the relation to Liverpool in the late 70s, which is right down my alley. I highly recommend it. This is an unpaid promotion just because I really love this podcast.
That's fine. What's it called again?
It's called Is There an Echo in Here? and it's all about Just Echo and the Bunnymen.
It's not on iTunes, it's just on their website?
I believe it's just on their website for now.
What's, give their website again?
It's ShaneParrishWith1R.com.
We'll put that link in the show notes. Mirrored Men Reports, Flannel Man Reports, any weird reports you have of these entities that people are seeing at night, usually, not exclusively. These weird entities, we'd love to hear them. These creepy stories of these... What was the quote I read recently? Humans that are somehow not human. And I forget where I read that quote, but I thought, that's great, right?
Yeah, what are they then?
Yeah, like, but that just sort of describes these entities that people are seeing. They're humans that are somehow not human.
Like the guys who show up in the clothing from another time period to interview you.
Men in Black.
Yeah.
Yes. So I want to thank Beyond Creepy and Phantoms and Monsters for giving us permission to use those Mirrored Men accounts in the show this week. And speaking of Flannel Man, we just made a Flannel Man Strange Familiars t-shirt, so we'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. It's the Flannel Man design I did for our first Flannel Man episode, kind of tweaked and changed around, and I think it looks really good. When we get the PayPal Me donations to help us out with the podcast, I can't reply to them for whatever reason. I don't know why PayPal does that, but if you reply, it goes right back to PayPal. So I can't thank the people directly via email. So I would like to thank some people who made contributions this week. Richard E. and Eric C. Thank you very much. That's a huge help. Absolutely a huge help. I know not everyone can subscribe via Patreon, so thank you so much. I want to thank all of our new patrons who came in after the last episode. It was a witch or a Sasquatch.
Have we conclusively figured out which one it is?
No, we're not.
Which witch is which?
We're not going to either. Because
there's a lot of unanswered questions on Strange Familiars.
They may in fact be the same thing, this witch and Sasquatch.
Or all unanswered questions.
I mean, we're dealing with the paranormal. If you're not willing to, as Josh so kindly quoted, I believe it was McKenna in the introduction to my new book, Don't Look Behind You, available on Amazon.
That was subtle.
Besides the whole introduction being extremely complimentary to me, one of the nicest things he said is that I am willing to sit with the mystery. And I believe that's a term he borrowed from McKenna. And I really kind of feel that's incredibly accurate. If you're not willing to sit with the mystery and realize that possibly answers are not forthcoming...
Yeah, the chase is always better than the kill anyway, isn't it?
It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, once we know, then we know. But like I always say, this stuff has been with us since the dawn of time, and we haven't figured it out yet. So don't get your hopes up that you're going to find any answers before your time is over. But it's still incredibly interesting. It's fun. It's exciting. I absolutely love it. So I'm willing to be in the mystery. Let it surround me.
Yeah, now you've drugged me in.
We're going to be going weekly, I guess, for a little while here. Try it out. So there'll be a lot more Strange Familiars coming your way. A lot more regular episodes, a lot more patron episodes.
Man, we actually have quite a few ideas.
We do. We do.
Pages of ideas.
And lots of interviews already banked. We got some really cool, weird stuff coming up. There's some really weird encounters that I'll be putting out there. The next one, it might be the next episode, me and Josh Cutchin interviewed a witness to something that was really, really weird, very strange. And definitely more Flannel Man shows coming. I've got Flannel Man interviews banked. There's at least two more Flannel Man shows coming up. I'll try to space them out so it's not all Flannel Man all the time. I'm sure we'll get more after that. I know there's other witnesses who've contacted me, so you know that I just need to do the interviews. So a lot
more strange history, some
more true crime stuff coming.
True crime, some wild women of the postcard era.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. So
and got to get back to the powwowing and
I know
that's classic Strange Familiars, local history.
Yeah, and
a lot of local history coming up too.
Yeah, that kind of ties in with the true crime a little bit.
Can't find a mystery anywhere. Pick a town, any town.
A lot more on the horizon. So thanks, everybody, for listening. StrangeFamiliars.com if you want to contact us. Facebook.com/StrangeFamiliars. Strange Familiars is brought to you by Dark Hollow Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath, which you can find at stonebreath.bandcamp.com. We will be back soon with more Strange Familiars.
Is spun and spinning, waiting to be turned. Silver silk now weaving, songs waiting to be heard. Silver web or shining thread, gleaming cord and brains, a knotted string touch everything as it blooms and fades. Oh, as it blooms and fades. Listen to the spider spreading on her web, where her fine, fine thread entwines the sleeping dead. Oh, silver web, oh, shining thread, gleaming cord and braids, a knotted string touch everything as it burns and fades, oh, as it burns and fades. It's tied unto sweet Mary's tongue, fastened to the stars, and twisted through Osiris' eyes to anchor on far shores. Oh, silver web, oh, shining thread, gleaming cord and braid, knotted string touch everything as it blooms and fades, oh, as it blooms and fades. It winds among the sharp hawthorn and weaves all through the leaves to twist upon the branches high, connecting tree to tree. Oh, silver web, oh, shining thread, gleaming cord and braids, knotted string touch everything as it blooms and fades, oh, as it burns and fades. Carrying the oak's lost word from black ground to the clouds, it follows lightning strike to earth to make the moss vine shroud. Silver web, oh, shining thread, gleaming cord and braids, a knotted string touch everything as it burns and fades, oh, as it blooms and fades. Shining thread, gleaming cord and braids, knotted string touch everything as it blooms and fades, oh, as it burns and fades.
Know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.